Game and the Singers, and thank you, Southeastern, for allowing me to be back here with you on another time, to my brothers on the pulpit, to all the faculty and staff and students of this wonderful seminary. I do bring you greetings from New Orleans, Louisiana, where I was born and raised at, and have the privilege of being here today, giving obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life. I thank God for this privilege. I am excited and delighted because I have been invited to be here one more time. I never will forget when Dr. Patterson had me here several years ago. It was really exciting for me to stand in this pulpit and preach in this chapel, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be back with you. Do know that we're praying with you and praying for you, that God will speak to your heart, that he will send you your next president for this school. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Psalms 143 as we share today in the Word of God. Psalms 143 as we share today in the Word of God. Ask you a question. How do you handle dry times in your life? Dry times in your marriage, in your ministry, in your single life, in relationships, in classes. How do you handle those times that all of us as believers go through when we're facing ruts, when we're facing pits, when we're facing difficult times in life? How do we as believers, who are supposed to be the light of the world and salt and low sodium, low salt in society, how do we maintain, how do we still go through life with a smile, with anticipation, with trying to share our faith when even sometimes we go through difficult times in life? I want to talk about that this morning from a passage of scripture where a man who was very close to God, a man who was very dear to God's heart, went through a very tough time in his life. I remember the story of this, heard that Jesus was walking down the streets of Galilee. And he came across this man, and this man was crying and weeping and crying and weeping. And Jesus looked at the man and said, "So why are you crying?" And the man said, "Jesus, I'm lame, and if you can just touch my legs that I can walk again, Lord, I'd be so happy." So Jesus touched the man's legs, and the man walked again. The man went along his merry way. Jesus walked down a few more miles, the streets of Galilee, came across the second man. This man was crying and weeping. And Jesus said, "Sir, why are you weeping? Why are you crying?" The man said, "Jesus, I'm blind. If you can just touch my eyes that I can see again, I'd be so happy." So Jesus touched the man's eyes, and the man was happy. And he went along his very way and was able to see again. And Jesus walked a few more miles down the streets of Galilee and came across this third brother. And this third brother, he was weeping and wailing and mourning. He was laying prostrate on the ground. He was in agony. He was crying. His eyes were bloodshot. You can tell that he had been in turmoil and crying in difficult time for a while. And he said, "Sir, sir, what's wrong? It can't be that bad. I promise you, it can't be that bad." And Jesus looked at the man and said, "Sir, what's wrong? Why are you wailing like that? Why are you crying like that?" And the man looked up at Jesus with tear-stained eyes, with red eyes, and said, "Jesus, I'm a Baptist preacher." And Jesus sat down and cried with the man. Oh, it bees that way sometime. Psalms 143. You'll find these similar words. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." Don't miss verse 5. "I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse," King James says, "I ponder on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." Verse 7, "Answer me speedily, O Lord, like yesterday, like last week, like last month, for my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." Don't miss verse 11. "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul." For he closes out by saying, "For I am your child. I am your servant." Our Father and our God, Master, we come this morning. As we come, we thank you and praise you for the privilege and opportunity that you have given this street preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana, the privilege to come here to the Southeastern Seminary campus, to stand in this pulpit, in this chapel, to preach your word. As always, God, let me decrease as you increase. Let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ, to the end that you may be glorified, that the saints of God may be edified, that Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. And Master, when it's all said and done, we'll be very careful to give your name all the praise. We give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and again, let the people of God say amen. As a matter of fact, you say amen all throughout this sermon. I'm kind of used to it, if you know what I'm talking about. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. The time that has been allotted to me this morning, I want to preach from the subject, a cry for renewal. A cry for renewal. Dr. Carson, we don't know when it started. All we know is that it just happened. We couldn't tell you the minute. Professors, we couldn't tell you the day, nor could we tell you the hour. All we know is that it just happened. Ladies, we're not sure if it happened last month, 2 months ago, or even 6 months ago. All we know is that it just happened. Brothers, we're not sure the day of the week, the time of the month, or the season of the year. All we know is that it just happened. Our seniors, juniors, sophomores, our freshmen, we're not sure when it happened. We're not sure quite how it happened. We're not sure even why it happened. All we know that it just happened. And the thing that happened, Lil Vince, Ben Diesel there sitting on the front row, is that somewhere along the line, my brothers and my sisters, that you and I became spiritually dry. Somewhere along the line, we lost our passion for ministry. Somewhere along the line, we lost our passion for the things of God. Somewhere along the line, we became spiritually sapped. We became spiritually dehydrated. Maybe we lost our focus. Maybe we misplaced our priorities. Maybe we tried to do too much. Maybe we tried to handle it all by ourselves. Maybe we had too many irons in the fire. And now we find ourselves in this chapel at Southeastern Seminary, spiritually dry. Maybe someone we trusted let us down. Maybe someone we loved didn't love us back. Maybe someone played with our feelings and played with our emotions. And we find ourselves on this Wednesday morning spiritually dry. Maybe sickness attacked your body. Maybe fear attacked your mind. Maybe the enemy has attacked your soul and you find yourself spiritually dry. Maybe church members let you down. Maybe friends have turned their back on you. Maybe family members have let you down. Maybe your faith is not what it should be. Your finances as a seminary student are depleted. You can't pay your car note, can't pay your house note, can't pay your gas bill, can't pay your light bill, can't pay your phone bill. As a matter of fact, things are so bad in your life right now, you can't even pay attention. And you find yourself, as a result, spiritually dry. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of us can find ourselves in this place. We're dry. We're brittle. We're broken. We have no vim. We have no vigor. We've lost our vitality. We're in this chapel smiling on the outside, looking good on the outside, shaking hands and sharing hugs and embracing one another. But deep on the inside, where nobody can see but God, we're hurting. To be honest with you, many of us, our spiritual lives are on automatic pilot. We've done it so long. We've been saved since we've been 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And we know the right words. We know the right lingo. We know when to stand. We know the right religious words to say just to make people think I'm okay, you okay. But it's a fact of the matter. We're not okay. We're spiritually dry. Our smile is plastic. Our laughter is pretentious. Our witness is a thing of the past. And we find ourselves here tonight, today, spiritually dry. My brothers and my sisters, if that's your plight this morning, you are in the right place at the right time. You're not here by accident. You're here by providence. You're not here by chance. You're here by God's choice. But in this message this morning, I want to share with you what you and I as believers, because I've been there, got the t-shirt, bought the factory. What we need to do when we find ourselves going through ruts, we find ourselves going through dry times in our ministry, in our marriages, in our lives, in our single life, what we need to do, you're in the right place at the right time. But this sermon today is not just for the men, it's for the masses. It's not just for the ladies, it's for the laity. It's not just for the teenagers, it's for all ages. Because the fact of the matter is, we all stand in need of revival. We all stand in need of restoration. We all stand in need of rejuvenation. We all stand in need of renewal, just like David in our text. Now, Dr. Carson, what amazed me about this text is that at one time, David and God were so tight. The Bible says that David, Pastor, was a man after God's own heart. The Bible said that when it described David as the apple of God's eye. But now look at him here in Psalms 143. He's dry. He's brittle. He's in a rut. He's in a pit. He's not as close to God as he once were. And my brothers and my sisters, let me just say this thing. Think about it. If you and God are not as close as you used to be, guess who moved? If you're not as close to God as you once were, guess who moved? David at one time was close to God. He was tight. David and God had a one-on-one relationship. There were times in David's life and David's ministry, it's as if David felt there's nobody on earth that knows God like I know God. David sometimes took advantage of his relationship with God, that sometimes David felt it's just me and God one-on-one. Let me prove that to you. In Psalms 23, that may be David's favorite Psalms. Listen to David's personal testimony to how close and tight he and God were. Look, Psalm 140, look at David. Like he was bragging, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I, isn't that personal? It's as if David said, I don't care what he's doing for y'all, but I know what he does for me. But now look at him in Psalms 143. Oh, he's dry. He's brittle. He's lifeless. He's in need of revival, renewal, restoration. I want to share with you, Southeastern, four things you need to do if you find yourself in David's shoes like I've been oftentimes. Four things that you must happen when ministry is not going the way it should be, when the school is not going, when you're not getting the grades, when things are not happening the way that you know this should happen. Four things that you must do if renewal, if revival is going to happen in your personal life, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your home, in your family, in your single life. First of all, I want you to notice David's prayer. Notice David's prayer. Matter of fact, all the preachers, you can use this Sunday. I tell guys all the time, there's nothing original but sin, all right? It's a good outline, I promise you. David's prayer. Write it down. You might need it for Sunday. Sunday's coming. David's prayer. Look, he says in verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living. Look at David's prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, David realized his dryness. He realized his brokenness. He realized he was in need of revival and renewal. So the Bible said David cried out to the Lord. Notice he didn't cry out for the mayor. Notice he didn't cry out for the governor. Notice he didn't cry out for the president. As a matter of fact, notice David didn't cry out for the pastor, or for the deacons, or the trustees, or for the priests, or the bishop, or the elders. For David understood, ladies and gentlemen, like you and I need to understand sometimes, that there are times in our lives when some stuff that we go through, when nobody can help us but God. We're grateful for the mayor, but God. Grateful for the president and the governor, but God. Grateful for pastors and leaders and elders and trustees, but God. Grateful for family members and friends, but God. Grateful for men's ministry and women's ministry, but God. Grateful for role models and mentors and big sisters and big brothers, but God. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be a time in your life when you go through stuff in your life when nobody can help you but God. And David realized that. So David prayed to God. I dare you, brother. Pastor, I dare you. Evangelist, I dare you.
Education minister, I dare you. Music leader, I dare you. When you're going through those valleys, when you're going through those dry times in your life, I dare you call on God. I dare you pray to God. I don't know what your prayer may be, but sometime when I get to dry places, my prayer is sometime like this. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sometimes my prayer is like this. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where should I go? Sometimes my prayer is like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry not just something, but everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. And it's all because we do not carry not just something, but everything to God in prayer. You got to bring it to God in prayer. When you're going through a dry time, I dare you call on God. I dare you call on God in prayer. But not only David's prayer. Notice David's predicament. I don't look at David's prayer, but secondly, notice David's predicament. I can only give you the bones. You can put the meat on it later, but my time won't allow me to get through all of it. David's predicament. Look, he said in verse 6. Now, he's dry. He's built up. He's in a rut. And because he's not as close to God as he used to be, his enemies has noticed. Look what's happening to him, verses 3 through 6. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's taken advantage of my dryness. He has crushed my soul. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is distressed. Don't miss verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse, I ponder on the work of your hand. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a... Look at David's predicament. David cried, Lord, I don't like feeling like, but I don't like being in this state. Because God, I remember the days of old. Anybody remember when you first got saved? How many of y'all remember? Remember when you first got saved? Remember you felt you can go to hell with a ooze and just do a drive-by shooting? Remember, man, you were so excited. You shared your faith with everybody you came into contact with. You carried your Bible. Matter of fact, you had the King James Bible on the dashboard of your car, man. You had a bumper sticker on the back of your bumper. Honk if you know Jesus. Bum, bum, bum. You were excited about the Christ. Man, you went to church. You didn't care who was preaching. You didn't care who was singing. All you came to worship Jesus. You didn't care if they were singing praise songs or traditional songs or other kinds of songs. You just came to worship Jesus. But oh, something now has happened in your life. Something has happened in your ministry. Something has happened with your walk with God. Well, that's what David said. David said, Lord, I remember how it used to be. I remember the days of old. I remember when my joy was genuine. I remember when my laughter was sincere. I remember when my life was holy. I remember, God, when my testimony was convicting. I remember the days of old. I remember when my light used to shine. I remember when my praise was spontaneous. I remember when my worship didn't depend on who was preaching or who was singing or who was doing other things, God. I remember the days of old. I remember, Lord, when my giving was cheerful. I remember when I practiced what I preached. I remember when I lived what I sang about. I remember when I walked what I talked. Oh, God, I remember the days of old. I remember when your grace was sufficient. I remember when your mercy endured forever. I remember when my trials came to make me strong. Oh, God, I remember the days of old. I remember when I was persecuted but not forsaken. I was cast down, but not destroyed. I remember when I walked by faith, and not by sight. Oh, Lord, I remember the good old days. I remember the days of old. But that's before I got religious. That's before I started attending seminary. That's before I started dealing with devilish deacons and tricky trustees and cranky choir members and ugly acting ushers and messy members. I remember the days of old. That before I fell into sin, before I fell into temptation. That before I started attending business meetings. Before I took Greek, oh Lord. And all the spirituality just said, bleh. I remember
the days of old. David's prayer, David's predicament. But thirdly, look at David's plea. David's plea. Verses 7 through 10. Answer me speedily, Lord. My spirit is failing. Now, this next line blew me away. Think about it. Man after God's own heart. Him and God were so close. But look what he says. He's in a rut. Lord, don't hide your face from me. Can you imagine that? How can it get so bad? That David, who's a man after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye, is not only begging for God to him, but God, please don't hide your face. I know I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. I know I've said some things I shouldn't have done. I know I've gone some places. I know I let you down, but please, God, don't turn your back on me now. Don't hide your face, God. My spirit, listen to David's plea. Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need a word from you. Lord, I need an answer from you. Nobody else, God, but you. For God, my spirit is failing. God, I don't like feeling like. I'm thinking things I've never thought before. I'm contemplating things in my mind that was never a problem for me. I'm being tempted by stuff that didn't even used to bother me at all. People are now getting on my last nerve. I'm agitated quickly. Folk in the church may be so mad I don't want to cuss them out, but I'm thinking about it. Then I get to my office and I write it down on a sheet of paper. My spirit is failing. When I stand in the pulpit, I'm just going through the motions. When I sing at the mic, I'm looking at the clock. Hurry up. Let the hour pass by. My spirit is failing. I'm dry, Lord. I'm brittle. I've lost my vim. I have no vigor. And I wouldn't know vitality if it slapped me in the face. Oh, God. Hear my plea. My spirit fails. I'm washed up, God, but not ready to be hung up. I'm spiritually dead, but not ready to be buried. I'm knocked down, but not knocked out, God. My spirit fails. I hear the word, but don't live the word. I read the Bible, but don't study the Bible. I know people need the Lord, but I don't share the Lord. I know Jesus is the way, but I don't share the way. For my spirit is failing. The thrill is gone. The passion is gone. Oh God, hear my prayer right now, God. Not tomorrow, not next week, not Sunday, God. Speedily, like yesterday, like last month. And I don't know how much longer I can go through this. My spirit fails. My ways are wrong. My thoughts are wrong. Oh God, I beg you, God, I plead you, Lord, just answer my prayer speedily, God, right now, immediately, Lord, in a hurry. Because my spirit fails. At the cost, and I really believe all David was asking for in these four verses. Lord, I really believe all he was asking for. Lord, just give me another chance. I know I messed up. I know I've blown it. I admit that. But Lord, just give me another chance. Lord, just please let me start all over again. I tried my way, now I want to try your way. I tried the rest, and I want to try to. Lord, just give me another chance. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as I hurry along to close, if I know anything about God, I know that God is a God. Not only of a second chance, because I blew my second chance a long time ago, but he is a God of another chance. He is a God of another chance. Oh, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad your rut is. I don't care how dry your life is. God is a God of another chance. He gave Adam and Eve another chance. He gave Abraham and Sarah another chance. He gave Samson another chance. He gave David another chance. He gave the children of Israel another chance. He gave cousin Peter another chance. He gave the woman at the well another chance. He gave the woman caught in adultery another chance. He gave Zacchaeus another chance. He gave Thomas another chance. And I have no doubt in my mind that there's somebody in this chapel, maybe on that side, maybe on this side, maybe on this side, maybe on this side, maybe back here, that God has given another chance to. He's a God of another chance. But if he never gave you another chance, if he ever given you another chance,
I know that he's given me another chance. For my testimony is, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Not saving my case be for y'all, but it was love. Can I jump up in here? That'd be all right. Well, Dr. Patterson ain't here. I can do whatever I want. Love lifted me. Love, when nothing else could help, God's love lifted me. He is a God of another chance. I got to close out. But I have one more prayer. One more prayer. Don't tell me that. I just may do that. David's prayer. David's predicament, David's plea, and finally passes David's proposition. I told you it was a good outline. I told you, God. You like that? Thank you, brother. David's proposition. Look at David's proposition in verse 11. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. But look what he says. For Lord, I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I know I messed up, but I'm still your child. No, I've let you down, but I'm still my child. I'm still your child. I know I've blown something, but God, I'm still your child. Revive me. Look at David's proposition. Listen, ladies, to David's proposition. Brothers, listen to David's proposal. Faculty, professor, listen to David's plan. Lord, if I'm going to get out of this rut, Lord, if I'm going to get out of this pit, if I'm going to get out of this dryness, if I'm going to get out of this brokenness, Lord, if I'm going to get out of this mess that I've allowed myself to get in, there's only one way. I tried everything else. There's only one way. I've done everything else. Yet I'm still depressed. I'm still oppressed. I'm still going through the motions. My life is still on automatic pilot. Therefore, Lord, I propose. Therefore, Lord, I suggest. Therefore, Lord, I request. Therefore, Lord, I pray. Therefore, Lord, I plead. Therefore, Lord, I ask of you. Therefore, Lord, I beg of you. Therefore, Lord, I call on you. This is David's proposal. Revive me, O Lord. Renew me, O Lord. Rejuvenate me, O Lord. Restore me, O Lord. In other words, Lord, bring me back to life again. Revive my joy. Revive my laughter. Revive my smile. Revive my worship. Revive my praise. Revive my preaching. Oh God, revive me again. Revive my singing. Revive my teaching. Revive my ministry. Revive my marriage. Revive my family. Revive my children. Revive our men. Revive our women. Revive our sons. Revive our daughters. Revive our church. Oh God, revive our campus. Revive our seminary. Revive us, Lord, again. And Lord, don't just do it for me. Don't just do it for my church. Don't just do it for my ministry. Don't just do it for our campus. Don't just do it for our seminary. Don't just do it for our leaders. But God, do it so that when people come up to me, who saw me when I was in a rut, who saw me when I was dry, who saw me when I was going through those difficult times in life, and they knew my smile was plastic, they knew my laughter was pretentious, and they knew my life was on spiritual automatic pilot. But now that they see there's a pep in my step, now that they see there's laughter again, now that they see there's joy in my life, and when they come up to me, and when they say, something's different about you. Did you lose weight? No. Something's different about you. Did you change your hairstyle? No. Something's different about you. Did you get engaged, girl? No. Well, what's different about you? So remember when I was going through that rut? Yeah. When I was going through that tough time? Yeah. Oh, I know. You went to a self-help class. No. You went to a double L, you know, I said triple X. A double A class. No. You went to a Johnny Hunt, Trinity and Barnes seminar. No, it was sold out. You went to Dr. Jerry Bynes' first pastor class. No, I couldn't afford it. Well, what happened? God did it. God did it. God did it. Do it, God, so I can brag on you. Do it, God, so I can show you off. Do it, God, so I can glorify you. Do it, God, so I can honor you. Do it, God, for your name's sake. For you are Alpha. You are the Advocate. You are the Almighty. You are the Amen. Do it, God, for your name's sake. You are the author and finish of our faith. You are the door. You are the captain of our salvation. You are the chief shepherd. You are the first and the last. You are the faithful witness. Do it, God, for your name's sake. You are the good shepherd. You are the great high priest. You are the head of the church. You are the holy child. You are the I am that I am. Do it, God, for your name's sake. You are the Emmanuel. You are the Jehovah. You are the King of the ages. You are the lawgiver. You are the Lamb of God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Do it, God, for your name's sake. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lord of all. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the true light. You are the Lord of glory. You are the mighty God. Do it, Lord, for your name's sake. You are the Lord of righteousness. You are the Messiah. You are the rock. You are the bright and morning star. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Redeemer. Do it, God, for your name's sake. You are the Rose of Sharon. You are the Wonderful One. You are the Bread of Life. You are the Everlasting Father. You are the Deliverer. You are the Just One. You are the only begotten Son of Man and the only begotten Son of God. You are the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do it, God, for your name's sake. Revive us. Revive us. Revive us.
Amen. Please remain standing as we go today. I told you wouldn't get a boring sermon. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Luter, for that word from the Lord to remind us that God is the one who brings spiritual reviving and refreshing in our lives. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me this morning? In just a moment, I'm going to ask Dr. Luter if he'll come down. You'll have an opportunity to come by and greet him personally and thank him for coming today and preaching this message. This may have been just the message that you've been praying for that God would use in your life to encourage you. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to approach your throne. Thank you, Father, for the day to hear your word, a message which many of us needed to hear. Lord, that our souls might be refreshed, reinvigorated, renewed, revived. And Lord, wilt thou revive us again? Fill each heart with thy love. Lord, may each soul be rekindled from fire from above. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to worship you. And as we leave this place, Lord, may we carry the words of the gospel on our lips to share with those who we come in contact with. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.